This is a reading from the book of Qehelet, chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up the other. But woe to one who is alone and falls, and does not have another to help. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though one might prevail against another, two will withstand one. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Late in my first year of seminary, the nature of Christian love came up. The professor posed the question, are Christians called to eros love, that is, an attractive because of love, or to agape love, self-sacrificing in spite of love? In class discussion, the consensus quickly settled on the second. But this didn't sit well with me. I argued that neither really counted as love, at least not until the recipient responded that he or she felt loved. I remember feeling quite strongly about this point, but at the time, I couldn't articulate why. I will spare you the long description of my theological wandering on this. That journey meanders through many other topics and is one that I will probably be on for the rest of my life. Instead, this question eventually helped me to express some of my beliefs and explore their ramifications. I believe in the existence of an objective physical reality, one that is utterly and dependably consistent. Gravity does not care where you were born, or how much money you make, or what you think about it. Neither does entropy, death. There is something terribly, wonderfully, horrifically fair about the universe at large, a fundamental equality of being that we as human beings are just not able to transcend. I also believe that human beings are wired to seek meaning. And we do that by telling stories based on our own highly subjective personal experience. How we understand ourselves is embodied in the stories we tell about ourselves. And how we understand others is embodied in the stories that we tell about others. Everything we know, anything we know, is limited by what we have experienced, either directly or through the stories of others. Holding these two beliefs together, engaging with the tension between the objective and the subjective, has a couple of really important implications. First, behavior is key. What we experience is rooted firmly in the objective world, and the consequences of our stories, our behaviors, are also rooted firmly in the objective world. What we do is important. Second, I have to accept that others may have radically different stories than me, radically different meanings, and that their stories and meanings are just as valid to them as my stories and meanings are to me. Now, I don't have to adopt their stories for myself, or even agree with their stories and their meanings. But if I choose to be in relationship with them, I have to respect their experiences, the stories they tell, and the meanings they draw from those stories. Just as real, I have to accept that they are just as real as mine are. This is where I found my explanation for why those discussions of Christian love were lacking. They emphasized the experience of only one individual. Is that the totality of what love is or should be? Is love something one chooses to dispense upon others regardless of how they feel about it? Or is love something that is decidedly mutual through discussion and conversation? My beliefs require that I adopt the latter over the former. Love is not something that I own or you own. It is a product of us, created at the intersection of what each of us is willing to do and what each of us experiences as a result. I believe that love requires each of us to take responsibility for our story and for our actions, to acknowledge both our intent and our impact. This is what I believe. You, of course, might believe otherwise.